Let's see who we're going to pick on. Ken, would you lead us in a simple prayer? Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have. Oh, I'm skipping. I am. I can do everything it says I can do. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title is Can't Stop the Kingdom of God. Let's go to the first scripture. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Amen. Father, I just thank you for everything. I thank you that you are actively building your church and getting those of us ready for the end time harvest. It is said that any nation that stops believing in God will begin to start worshiping other gods or itself. And to do so is to allow lawlessness, hopelessness, chaos, and despair to rule that nation. These are the right ingredients for the death of that nation. And we see that happening within our nation. All these ingredients are happening simultaneously. What we're witnessing is the absence of our culture, which is being shattered, our history, which is being revised, the exclusion of our God from every facet of life in this country. And most importantly, as I heard this week, a gentleman drove his vehicle up and splattered a statue of the Ten Commandments in Arkansas. So the rule of law is being attacked. Incredibly, this is happening by witnessing the drop of birth rates within nations. 59 nations make up 45% of the world's population and are reducing in birth rates. I was wondering what you guys are looking at. And what we see here is because there is a drop in birth rate, most of these nations aren't even reproducing itself to cover the death rate of these nations. And so what is happening right now is this contraction of nations that are happening. It is said that by the end of this century, that 90% of the world's languages will have disappeared. And we are seeing that happening because there's the clash of cultures that are happening, that one language is going to supplant another while assimilating this conquered nation. But we have hope. We have hope that only one nation, only one kingdom is ever expanding, and that is the kingdom of God. God is expanding his growing and his influence upon the world in spite of what's been reported by the news media. In spite of all the cultural changes that are going on. Today there are more than 1 billion believers in the world today than there was in 1970. And the fastest growing part is Pentecostalism, which makes up about 40% of all Christendom, of which we're part of that. Pentecostals are known to be spirit-filled prayer warriors who do the will of Christ, who worship Him, and seek the Father's will to attack demonic strongholds in the spiritual realm. More and more people are engaging on their knees to seek the will of the Father in these last days. How did this occur? Well, let's go back to the 2012 presidential elections. When those elections occurred, there was a breach in the spirit that began to emerge. A breach is a split. Something occurred. Something began to change, and something was different, but we couldn't put our fingers on it. By the 2016 presidential election, God moved. God moved in such a way that both parties, Democrats and Republicans, couldn't believe what had happened. And they still don't believe what had happened. And they are doing whatever they can to get rid of God's choice and put in their own choice. What has happened since the 2012 election is that spiritual warfare has increased to a new level, of which last week we sensed that there was this oppression that was coming on to try to keep us from worshiping God. And I praise God that the worship team pushed us through. But this is only the beginning of the spiritual warfare that we're witnessing. We have to understand that the Antichrist spirit of this world is still trying to put a stranglehold on God's people. And as a matter of fact, for all people. They want to put a stranglehold on everyone to bring in the Antichrist. One world dominion under his control. What has happened is the people of God have really taken to heart 2 Chronicles 7:14, which was a national call of repentance, of which some of us participated. We went to Washington, D.C., and we participated. We wanted to identify with the body of Christ that we were just as guilty as everyone else, and we repented for the sins of our omission to God. And from that time, what has been happening is intercessory prayer has been emerging within the churches. What started off as a moment is now a movement. In our intercessory prayer group, the resistance that we're experiencing isn't because we're not doing anything. It's because we are beginning to start hitting the gates of hell in the spirit. And they are pushing back against us. We know this to be true because Daniel revealed this when he said, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the prime or chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." What we understand through the scripture is that Daniel was seeking an answer from God. He was seeking the will of the Father. He wanted to know what was going on. But really what was going on at that time was there was such oppression of the Jews that God began to start stirring the heart of Daniel to start seeking his will. And there was resistance for 21 days. Until he got that answer. And notice, the enemy did not take on God. He took on the servant of God. The enemy is not going to take on God. He's going to take on the servants of God, of which all of us are. We have to understand that the prince of Persia is really a territorial spirit, describing the territory in which it had control of. Still has control. There's such demonic oppression that's going on in there that we see that the nations are literally tearing themselves apart. And this is what the territorial spirit is all about. Because we pushed through last week, today we sense a different spirit. There's not an oppression that is coming. And because we push through, there's a freedom that Christ gives to us. But understand, believers, that this is just the beginning of what we are about to face. And we're sensing these things, and it doesn't make it any less real or true, because not everyone is sensing what those of us are sensing. But you will see, if you just think about what had happened this past week. As I shared, you know, and I rejoiced in the activities, because I know we're on the right path, because the resistance is hitting my house and several other houses, in that we are striving to come together for the knowing the will of God for streams, and then do what God has instructed us to do. And we're meeting this resistance head on. This territorial spirit that we're engaging in is known as secular humanism. And its territorial strongman is a religious spirit, better known in the scriptures as the Leviathan. And it is a beast that is worse than anything that anyone can imagine. Excuse me. It will not submit to any man. It will not submit to any government. It will consume it through chaos, through division, through hatred. Everything that God opposes. And the only person I know that will cause this spirit to submit itself is Jesus Christ, of which we have that covering. Secular humanists believe that the state rules everything and should elevate the state in such a way that it should be worshipped as God. It believes that the people work for the state's good, not for the good of the family. And because these elitists believe this, they want to take our freedoms away through manufactured problems that are happening. We actually see that this battle is roaring, and it really started back in the 60s when Roe versus Wade came into effect. It divided the nation. Today we see it through the issue of health care. The humanists believe that this is a right of the people to have health care. The only rights that I can find is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not health care. And so all who are opposing a free market society, freedom, and we see this division, that 49% believe that they should have it, 51% believe they shouldn't. They should trust in God. I'm not saying that insurance is bad. It's just that we should be trusting God for that provision. How did this all happen? How did we get to this place in which all this hostility is now manifesting itself? Humanism is an ancient, rebellious, murdering spirit. Cain first embraced this spirit by killing his brother Abel. Then he left the family of God and built the first city-state in the land of Nod called Enoch, which was named after his son. You can check it out in Genesis 4, 16 and 17. Cain's children would be known for building Babylon, and today that same spirit is being embraced to rebuild a Babylonian society. These elitists, these statists, these humanists believe that they are going to build a structure that is going to be above any control that God wants for mankind. The problem is many are living in a spiritual vacuum that is being created even as we speak. And this is why we should go and share the gospel with people. An example of this was when communist Russia came into power in 1917, what they did was, the first thing that was, they eliminated God from society. Then they oppressed the people. The people responded in this repression in not working, not marrying, not having children. And the result of it was the death of the Soviet Union, the Soviet Empire. We know this to be true because the scriptures have told us that they're true. For the wages. Next one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, prayer warriors understand the battle that we are facing. We are battling spirits of relativism, atheism, humanism, Marxism, communism, statism, New Age mysticism, Eastern mysticism, just to name a few. These are the offsprings of Leviathan. And what had happened when prayer warriors began to assault this spirit, the spirit released a teaching spirit to propagate this false doctrine of freedom by a communal society of which the elitists had the best of everything and everyone else suffered. We understand that the battle has grown into such a way that there's evil amongst us and manifesting itself with the media, college professors, entertainers, politicians, bankers, policymakers, the UN, and they all call us insane. They call us nuts. When they start describing their reality, we're scratching our heads to the reality of what is presently facing us. Have you ever listened to the news and listened to what they're saying? And it's like, I don't live in that reality. That's not my reality. This is what is happening in this country. These elitists detest us as Christians because we model a faith based on a creator and a supernatural God. They hate us because we remind them that God says that we have separated ourselves from God because of sin. And they want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with a God who offers salvation. As we saw, it's a free gift from God. And so we see this clashing, this onward clashing that is happening right before our eyes. And many are scratching their head, why is this? What can I do? For us, we're getting on our knees. We're seeking God. We want to know what our part is and how to resist this Antichrist spirit. In 93, Samuel Huntington wrote in his essay, The Clash of Civilizations, he wrote, "World politics is entering a new phase in which great divisions are coming upon humankind, and the dominating source of the international conflict will be the church." World politics are happening. Politics is simply dealing with the affairs of men. And they don't want anything to do with God, anything that calls itself God. They want to govern over mankind ruthlessly. Again, I only know one great governor who rules from above, who will take care of us and defeat our enemies. It's the Lord himself. And in this warfare, no one is exempt from this warfare. No one. It will affect all of us eventually. Some of us that are really outspoken will be placed in concentration camps, much the same as World War II, to silence our voices. Some of us will deny the faith of which Christ died for us. But what we are doing is we're getting on our knees and we're seeking God for what He wants to do and our part in it. The good news is that Jesus Christ did not leave us to the thoughts of men. He has left us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is directing us to begin to stop asking God to do our job, but really start doing our job because God has commanded it. If you look at the Genesis account, He's told us to take dominion. He's given us dominion. But we can't sit by hoping that God is going to do something. He has done everything to bring us back to the place that the human spirit, a supernatural spirit, has all power and authority to rule and reign over this world. We know that the Holy Spirit has been given us power. But we also know that at the end will come and He, the Holy Spirit, will hand over the kingdom to God the Father. And after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for He must reign until He has put all the enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For He has put everything under His feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under His feet, it is clear that this does not include God the Father, who has put everything under Christ. When He has done this, then the Son Himself will be made subject to Him who puts everything under Him, so that God may be all in all. You see, what is happening today is the plan of God is working out perfectly. Evil is going to rise, and so is our resistance. It says that God cut the day short, or there would have been no flesh to survive. Many go to church, they attend church, but they don't understand what the reality of church is. It is for the training of the saints to do the works of ministry, to drive out evil spirits, of which Jesus demonstrated. He was killed because God needed a sacrifice. That is true. But Satan hated what He stood for, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil. He healed everyone who was sick. He delivered people from sin. He raised the dead, of which we are commanded likewise. If you believe this, we should be actively doing what Jesus said. He sent the 70 out to preach the good news, to share about the kingdom of God, to share about the kingdom of heaven. And when they came back, they rejoiced that even the demons were subject to their authority. Do you realize how much authority God has given to you? Irene has a headache. I come over and I pray. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It leaves. People have infirmities. Dan has been really pressing this issue about demonstrating the kingdom through prayer. But we have to understand that this is just the beginning of this warfare. We have to expect that, yeah, we had the victory, but still the enemy is going to oppose us because Satan knows that his time is short. And he wants to take as many as possible to hell with him before the end comes. Huntington declares that spiritual warfare will intensify as civilization becomes more differentiated as it's segmentized through religion, history, its language, and tradition. The U.S. needs to align itself up with countries of similar values. The problem is we are no longer a Christian nation. We don't give Christian values to affect the world for Jesus Christ. We have been controlled by the infiltration of the secularism. Remember, I've said that even the pulpits of the Church of Jesus Christ has been infiltrated to the point where people would rather sit and do nothing and allow things to happen. When the reality of the Church is we are to train you to do the work to battle and bring to naught the kingdom of darkness. That is why the Church exists. Not for us to sit by and poo-poo and wait for that coming day that he splits the eastern sky and takes us all home. That's going to happen. But he said occupy until he returns. That word occupy is a militaristic word that means to do battle. If you're a business person, it means to exchange your business, influence your business, influence it with the kingdom's value, not the world's values. What do we face in the future? And it's not going to be too far off. In the future, we will face human secularism, and there will be more chaos. There will be more despair. There will be more hopelessness. There will be more death. Yesterday, at the end of the great festivities we had yesterday with our family celebrating the 4th of July, I was made known of an individual who used to come here who died, committed suicide. And it has distraught my spirit. This person was a young person, mid-teenage years. What could have rocked that boat to drive this person to commit suicide? The spirit of hopelessness. This is what we're facing, church. People who need Jesus Christ, who need to be loved with the love of the Father, not by humanistic efforts, not by our human love. This is why God has established streams to love and challenge us all to love like He loves. Unconditionally, not to pat ourselves on the back because we're so great and wonderful. No, He wants us to get to work. He wants us to make a difference in this world and continue to make a difference until He comes. For He will come. As these cultures continue to the clash. What we have is a distinction between worldviews. These two worldviews is a biblical worldview and a humanistic worldview. Humanists, like I said, believe in statism. I'll call them for what they are. They're communists. They want to oppress the church. They want to kill us. They want to silence the voice of the church to those who haven't heard. To those who are wanting to return to the church, but the church hasn't been smart enough in order to receive them in open arms unconditionally. God has made precious promises to us. In Deuteronomy, he says, in verses 12 through 15, he says, if you pay attention, this is God speaking, he says, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you. He will bless you. He will increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb. He will bless your childbearing. He will bless the crops in your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil. What he's saying is he's going to bless you wherever your job is. He's going to bless you if you follow him. The calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give to you. He's talking about your families. He's going to bless your families if you follow him. This is his promise. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. Imagine walking around free from sickness, disease, which leads to death. He will not inflict you on the horrible diseases that you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. This is God's promise to you, to me. If we would just have a heart for God and a heart for God's people who are separated from the body of Christ. We've done all kind of efforts in our own way. Isn't it about time we do it God's way? Isn't it about time that we allow the blessings of heaven to fall on our families? Pastor, you're preaching a hard word. I know it's a hard word. But this is what our God, our King, our Lord expects of his people. Because he tells us, great is your reward, which is held for you in heaven. Not all the church is the church of Jesus Christ. What we have to battle in our own lives is materialism, which is a nice piece of bait that the enemy puts out and makes us think that we are entitled to spend hours in leisure doing our own thing. Do you not know that's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Not because of the blatant homosexuality, but the ease and comfort of life led them into perversion, and he destroyed those societies. We are the voice of Jesus Christ. His kingdom cannot be stopped. We are a part of his kingdom. And we're getting our hands trained by the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God wants us done. Today, the media is touting overpopulation as the main cause of a lot of our griefs. They're trying to tout this false narrative of global warming as if mankind can do anything without God. These are the facts that I want to leave you with. 59 nations with 45% of the world's population are contracting. And it will be significant in the future as we go. Death of nations. Death of societies. Death of cultures are what faces us. But the faith in Christ grows. There's no question that Christianity is spreading like wildfire through the world. Like I said, there's nearly a billion more Christians today than there was in 1970. This includes 100 million Chinese believers who adhere to the underground house church movement. 100 million with a billion in their society. Only one-tenth have heard the good news. There's another 100 million believers in Latin America, of which 40% of them are Pentecostal. They are filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God, doing miraculous things that we will not ever hear of because the media doesn't tout it. There are over 250 million African believers in the continent. And they have bought in to sharing the gospel no matter the cost. And because of their aggressive movement, what is happening today is a transformational religious shift is beginning to happen. The whole continent of Africa is now shifting to Jesus Christ. In spite of what the media would tell you about the Muslims, Muslims are coming to Christ. He's manifesting himself in bodily form to Muslims. Doesn't matter what nation they're at. And they're giving their life to Jesus Christ. They are now our brothers and sisters. They are now part of the family of God. The kingdom of God is almost here. This is not the time to just let our hands fall down at the side. It's time to really get busy because this is the most important time of our lives. You know, the farmer really scurries really hard when he sees a storm coming and he's got to get that harvest in. I've just described the storm to you. And it should burn our hearts that we should want to get the harvest in for our Father so it isn't spoiled out there. The kingdom of God is coming. It's almost here. Five things I want to leave you with to think about. Secular humanism is dying and is killing nations along the way. By 2040, there will be another billion Christians in the world if the Lord should tarry. Pentecostalism is the fastest growing movement. It is true that when you receive Christ, you also receive the other parts of the Trinity in you. The fullness of the Godhead now dwells in you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's a whole nother system that we operate in. The Holy Spirit in you is good for you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's for everyone else. It's not for you. It's not to prove how spiritual you are or how you aren't. It's to be used for the will of God. Pentecostalism means that people are baptized by the Holy Spirit. You have to want what God wants to give to you. You have to want it and desire it over and over and over again, constantly being filled by His Spirit. And finally, Jesus is building His church, and the hordes of hell are going to rise up to keep that from happening. Fortunately, we know the end. We win. We win. The kingdom of God is about God destroying all His enemies. And when He destroys His enemies, there's no stopping God. God is all powerful. He can do above whatever we ask or imagine. Whatever you can imagine to be great, God can do more. So let us begin to start thinking in those realms. Asking God for those big, hairy goals that He wants us to have. So that we have these big, hairy, awesome goals that we know God is only able to do. We can't do it. I want you to be encouraged. But I also want you to know what we are facing in the days, weeks, and years to come. We are in a war. We are not exempt from being affected by this war. Everything that God has given to us is given in such a way to finance that war. They say that the World War II veterans are the greatest nation in the world. I say that great nation hasn't arrived yet. What they did was awesome. They learned to sacrifice. They learned who the enemy was and how to destroy the enemy. As we go in to this new year, we will know our enemy. We will fight our enemy with the weapons that God has given to us. And that first weapon is prayer. Rise. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You freshly anoint Your people. Restore the joy of their salvation. Rejoice in over them, in how they will prosper. And have them come to understand how You move. Hopefully I was able to articulate what is happening in our world today to describe the war for them. I want them to be encouraged that Your arrival is almost here. And then all the evil that is released upon the land will be set back in order, that we will have peace and tranquility in You. Father, help them to understand they are the answer to this generation. Let us not flap our lips any longer. Let us demonstrate the kingdom of heaven from this day forward until You come. In Jesus' name, amen.